Proverbs chapter 14, let's begin to read one verse in verse 34. And the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me read it again. The Bible said in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this good day that you've given us. We thank you for each one that is in the house of God today. But Lord, it's come time now for the preaching hour. And Lord, we just thank you for the message that you've set in front of us. We really do believe this is the message for the hour. I believe this is the way that you've directed us for the time. And Lord, we certainly need your help today. We cannot do this without you. And Lord, we thank you for the help that you've afforded us before. But today, we certainly need you. Lord, we pray for an unction from the Holy One. We also ask that if there's one here lost, that you'd save them, bring them to a place of repentance that they might trust you. Lord, I pray that you'd help the one that might need help, direction, folk making decisions. Lord, I pray that you'd give them wisdom. They'd seek wisdom and find it in you today. But Lord, again, I pray for help. We certainly love you and we thank you for Calvary touching on us afresh. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this one verse, Solomon is given a contrast between a righteous nation and a sinful nation. I believe that if you look back through the nation of Israel, you will find that at times they were a righteous nation and at times they were a sinful nation. I believe we can see that all through time. We can see where they served God and we can see where they didn't serve God. And I believe today, now with everything that's going on with our election cycle, everything that is going on with what's happening in our nation and in our world, church, I really believe that we're standing on the brink of whether we're going to last or not. I really believe that the balance of our nation is in the hands in the next few months of men that are, some are corrupt and some are righteous. That's kind of scary to think about some things. Listen, I've been here for almost 19 years, and I've seen our nation change drastically in the past 19 years that I've stood right here behind this pulpit and pastored this church. We've always been a nation of sinners. There's been no doubt of that. But friend, there's always been men and women that have always wanted to do right and serve God. But it seems like that those are becoming fewer and fewer. And so I ask you today as I preach this, where does our nation stand in verse 34? Where do you stand in verse 34? And where does this church stand in verse 34? I believe as he said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. I also believe that works in church, and I believe that'll work in your home. I believe God will exalt your home when you serve Him. Amen. I believe God will exalt your home when you're righteous and you have righteous living. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Help me out now, church. I need some help this morning. I need a good witness every now and again. It's a whole lot easier when folk are smiling and doing this and saying amen. Than it is, you mean, hey, I'll give you something to think about and then I'm going to preach a while. How do you think Elijah felt when he went up there on Mount Carmel and said, choose you this? He said, how long halt you at two opinions? He said, if God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve Him. And the Bible said, and they didn't say a word. Reckon how he felt. You ought to put yourself in my place every now and again. And Brother Caldwell's place and Brother Jeremiah's place. When you stand to preach, we need a little help every now and again. Amen. Don't say a word. Help me out here this morning. Let me say that by way of introduction that, listen, first of all, there's civic righteousness. And what's that mean? That means folk that want to do good. You know, I believe that the Shriners, they do good. That's civic righteousness. I believe the Lions Club, I believe they do good works. They're do-gooders, if you'd let me say that. And there's nothing wrong with doing good works. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, we do need more people to do good works, don't we? Amen. I believe God's happy when folk do good, whether they're lost or whether they're saved. I believe God is happier with a nation when they're trying to do good and have right morals. You believe? Would you agree that our morality has slipped in this nation? Amen. And I believe our morality, whether lost or saved, and let me say this, I believe the morality of saved people has slipped today.
Amen. I believe that's the problem with God in church. It's because morality is slipping. Amen. Along the way. But civic righteousness. Folk do good. You know, Shriners in the Lions Club. And do good work for the community. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But listen, when it comes to righteousness. Listen, I'm talking about those that love God. And want to serve God today. You need to know something and have experienced Christ's righteousness in your life. I believe that's what he's talking about here. He's just not talking about when he says in verse 34 that righteousness exalteth a nation. He's just not simply talking about doing good. Now, righteousness means to be right and to do good. That's what it means. But it goes a little further than that, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. But the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 64, in the light of God's mind and in the light of God's eye, he said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So as you stand before a just and holy and sovereign God, all your good works is filthy rags. We preached on that, I believe, last Sunday morning. When we looked at, but God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we talked about righteousness in verses 5 and 6 and 7. We talked about those things. But listen, you're not righteous in yourself without Christ Jesus the Lord. Romans 3 and 10 said there is none righteous. No, not one. So what's he talking about when he says righteousness exalteth a nation? Can I tell you that if you go look in Romans chapter 5, don't you go there with me. We'll get started here in a minute. Romans chapter 5. Look with me what the Bible says in verse 17. Romans 5 and verse 17 is he's talking about what Adam done and then what Christ Jesus the Lord done. In Romans 5 and verse 17, the Bible said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of judgment of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. So as you come to Christ and you know Christ as your personal Savior, then you're made righteous in Him. You need to grasp that. It's His righteousness that God is looking for. It's not our good things. It's not our good works. Listen, He said this about Noah. He said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And you go a few verses later in chapter 7. And he told Noah this. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So let me ask you today, what is God looking for in this generation? If righteousness exalteth a nation, what's he looking for? What's he looking for? Let's look at that this morning. What's God looking for? The exaltation of a nation comes from righteousness. That word righteous simply means to adhere and that to God's word or to the doing of God's word. Let me say that. Not only to read His word, but it means also to obey His word. Listen, that is the problem of our nation and our church today. A lot of folk knows what the Bible says. They just don't do what the Bible says. Amen. Right? Listen, that's what's got a lot of church people in trouble over the years. You know what the Bible says. You just don't do what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says, but I just don't do what the Bible says sometimes. Get you in trouble. Boy, it's exciting this morning, ain't it? Amen. Listen, it's not a good economy that exalts our nation. I like a good economy, but it does not exalt our nation. It's not a good military that exalts our nation. It's not a good health care system that's going to exalt our nation. And it's not socialism and giving everything away for free that's going to exalt our nation. It's going to be righteousness in the lives of God's people living in this world. Listen, that's why God exalted our nation. Take your Bible and go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. You say, well, there is no help for our nation. Not necessarily. Somebody said here a while back, we may be standing at the place where there is no remedy and no return. And that may be so true. We may be at the place where Israel was in the book of Jeremiah. God was done. It didn't matter whether they repented or not. God was done. And God gets that way. He gets to a place where there is no remedy. And we may be there. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of looking like it. But look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I know this applies to the nation of Israel, but I believe we can learn some things from it. Look in verse 1. We're going to read lengthy here for just a minute. He said in verse 1, he said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All right, God said, if you will obey, hear and obey, he said, I'll set you on high. So he said, I'll do what? I will exalt you. Is that not the same thing? When something is exalted, it is lifted up, it is raised up on high. God said, if you will obey and observe what I've told you to do, I'll make you the greatest of all nations. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I like that. I underline that by my Bible. It's going to overtake you. You can't help it. Those blessings are just going to show up. You know, when you serve God, God will bless you. Do you know that? I don't serve him for the blessings, but he will bless you. I was talking to a fellow the other day. We was talking about tithing. And here we go. It's going to get exciting now. We was talking about tithing. And he likes to tithe, and I do too. I really like to tithe. I enjoy tithing. I enjoy giving. You say, why? One, God bless me to be able to give. Amen. I like to give. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. Well, some people need to get a hold of that, don't they? But he said, you know what I've learned? This is my buddy. He said, you know what I've learned? He said, I've learned that my car will get better gas mileage when I tithe than it does when I don't tithe. Amen. He believes that. You know what? I believe it too. And he got married on up in his mid-40s. And he said, I tried to tell my wife that. And he said, I don't know if she believed that to start with. But he said, you know, after being married for about 6 months, she come back to me and said, I believe you were right. Amen. She said, my car runs better since we tithe. Amen. You may not believe that. I believe that today. Amen. Listen, he said, I'll set thee on high. Let me get on with it now. He said, if thou shalt hearken, verse 2, to the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given. God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt what? What's your Bible say? Shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name, by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. You remember when nations used to be afraid of us? You remember when people used to be afraid of the church? I mean, we'd pray the power of God down on people. People used to be afraid of that stuff. People ain't afraid of church no more. People don't fear the church. People don't fear God no more. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Notice he didn't say he'd give it to you. He just said he'd bless the work. Y'all catching on there, ain't you? They ain't nothing free. They ain't no handout. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken, here it is, unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. What's God want out of his people? To obedience. He wants obedience. He wants you to follow him and be faithful to him and do what he wants you to do. What was it he said? I believe it was on the book of Matthew chapter 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He just wants you to live right. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to not only be saved, but he wants you to be faithful and act to church. But he wants you to be faithful to him. Read his word, be faithful to his word, and just serve him. Amen. That's it. Righteousness exalteth a nation. He wants you to think right and do right. He wants our leaders to think right and do right. You have to understand something this morning. Folk that are in leadership, I understand God has his hand upon nations and upon states and upon cities and upon local municipalities. I understand those things. I know God works and moves as folk pray and as folk don't pray. God will let people have what they want though. And what I mean by that, did Israel not want a king? You remember they come to Samuel, told Samuel, you're getting old. That's what a man wants to hear, ain't it? Samuel, you're getting old. Your boys ain't doing right. And won't you just make us a king? And so he goes to God and says, Lord, they want a king. And it hurt Samuel's feelings. But you know, worse than that, it hurt God's feelings. You know, we tend to hurt God's feelings sometimes, don't we? You know, we think God sits up there with a stone face and he's got a stone heart and he don't feel anything that his people do to him. He does. He does. God feels. He rejoices over you when you do right. Reckon he mourns over you when you do wrong? Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, this morning. Do you not rejoice over your children when they do right, especially when you don't have to tell them to do right? When they do wrong, do you not mourn over your children when they do wrong and they're not doing right? I've watched many parents. I've talked to many parents over the years. Pray for my child. And I mean, they're just worried to death for the shape. Pray for my grandchildren. They're just worried to death for the shape that their children and their grandchildren are in. Why? Listen, there's something in them that you want to see them do right. There's something in you that makes you want to do that. Can I say that God wants to see us do right? He wants to bless us. But obey God's word. What makes righteousness in a nation? One, I believe you need to be saved. And I understand that not all our forefathers and our founders were saved, but I believe there were some that were saved. If you go back and you look at the Declaration of Independence, you'll find that they talked about the Creator and being protected by divine providence. Listen, they knew where it came from. They knew where their help came from. Why do you think the pilgrims come over here? Even though they were Puritans, and even though, boy, they struggled to have some religious freedom, boy, especially once they got established, but why'd they come over here? Well, they come over here for religious freedom, did they not? I believe now, you can throw this out, this one portion. I believe if folk would just do right, God would bless our nation. But I really know if folk are saved and they want to do right, I do know God would bless our nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. If folk would just do right. So he told them, he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Can I ask you something? How do you think that we've got where we are in just a little over 200 years? In the establishment of our nation, how do you figure that if you go back to verse 2 in the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee. Do you realize that when the steam engine was invented back in the 1800s, that man traveled faster than he'd ever traveled since the days of Adam? Think about it for just a second. Well, think about everything that God has blessed us with. We're not sitting in a one-room church building with a pot-bellied stove in the middle of it anymore, freezing to death in the wintertime. I preached a revival years ago up in the mountains up there, and they had no gas heater that set over to the side, and I had a preacher friend that come up there with me, and he thought he was going to be smart and get over there next to the heater. Y'all know what happened, don't you? Revival got to rolling, and buddy, it got hot over there next to that heater. Amen. I mean, God has blessed us beyond what we could ever imagine. I mean, we leave our home, which are good homes. Right? We ain't living in a shotgun house. Not like my grandparents did. I still remember going to the outhouse when I was, they still had outhouses. I was growing up. You don't remember that, do you, Elizabeth? You don't remember the outhouse. She's my first cousin, so, you know. I still remember the outhouse. I'm just saying simple things and little things. We can fry around the world all day long. And we do it in comfort. I mean, think about all the medical technology that we've just seen developed in the past 50 years, let alone the past 150 years. Think about it for just a second. Look where you're sitting. Look how far some of you's come to get here this morning. How you put gas in your vehicle. You got here, we rode in style. When we got here, we got out, we're dressed in style. And we come in and we sit down and say, God bless us. Hey, we need to come in and worship. Amen. God's blessed us, has He not? Amen. Many of us do not work 12 to 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day out in a field with a hoe in our hand trying to grub just enough to get by with. People used to do that. Had enough. And you know what I believe? I believe they were happier people back then than we are now. That's kind of scary, ain't it? How do you think? That's just a little bit that I've talked about how that we have accomplished so much to be one of the most blessed nations that there ever has been, to have one of the best militaries that we could ever have, to have the healthcare system that we do have, and the doctors that we have, the blessing of our homes that we have, and all the stuff. But yet we have started to slip, have we not? Why is that? Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is reproached to any people. You go over and you look in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, and most of you will know that Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman, which is far above rubies. She was very wise. But if you back up and you look at King Lemuel's mother, she was teaching King Lemuel in the first part of Proverbs chapter 31 how to be a king. His mama was teaching him how to be a king. You know, mamas has got great responsibilities, don't they? I mean, go back and look. And she's telling him that you need to judge right, you need to do right, you need to think, you just need to do all this stuff right, King Lemuel. Not only has people not done right, but we've come to the place to where our rulers, if you let me say that, those that are in authority, I don't want to do right. They're passing laws to kill more babies, ain't they? You're going to tell me God is happy with that? No, he ain't happy with that. You're going to tell me that there's some of them that if that baby is still born, that they say give it no health care, no nothing, let it sit there and die. You're going to tell me God is happy with that? I'm telling you, God's angry with that today. Hey, listen, our lawmakers are making laws that are contrary and that to God's word this morning. He is not happy with that. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. Righteous people tend to get righteous leaders, but wicked people tend to get wicked leaders because that's what they want. They want people just like them. Listen to me now. He said, righteousness exalteth a nation. Where we have failed out in righteousness has to rest from where I'm standing at and to where you're sitting at. It goes from the pulpit to the pew and then out the door. You know how our nation is failing? It's because God's people is failing at living righteously. I understand. I know we've got to come down to the end times. I know that. Are we living at the end times? I would say that we probably are. You say, well, there's always been wicked times down through history. There has.
There's always been wicked times. If you go back and you look at the book of Daniel over there, and he talks about the end times, the last days, he talks about how that knowledge would be increased, and men would what? They would do what? They would go to and fro. If there's ever been a day, today's it. Knowledge is increased. And I take that scripture literally in the book of Daniel. Some people want to write it off spiritually. I take it literally as what it says. Knowledge is increased. You know that you can learn anything and know anything just by simply picking up your phone and typing it in, and you can figure it out in just a little bit. I mean, you'll be good at it, but you can do it. Amen. Do we not know more now? I mean, can we not find information now quicker than we could ever find it before? Are we not traveling and going to and fro and running to and fro more than we've ever done? I can remember when going to Knoxville. I grew up in Sweetwater when going to Knoxville was an all-day affair. That was a big thing, man, to go to Knoxville. You know what me and my wife does now? If we just want to go eat, we'll get in the car, we'll be up in Knoxville, we'll go eat, we'll pay our money, we'll turn around, we'll come home. Wasn't no big deal. You know why it's a big deal when we was growing up? We just didn't go nowhere. And you know what? You probably didn't either. I'm just saying we just traveled to and fro. And by the way, while we're traveling, what are we doing for the Lord, by the way? God's people, can I tell you, according to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, it's time that judgment begins at the house of God. It's time for you to look at you. It's time for me to look at me and see if I'm living righteously. I'm saved. I'm kept by God, preacher. Yeah, but are you living righteously? Just because you're saved, don't. I mean, you're righteous in Christ. When God looks down from heaven, if you're saved, you're righteous. But are you living righteously? The world needs something different than what they already see out there. They need to see somebody that loves them and cares for them. We need to be telling the truth of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. What was it that the Lord said over there when that one come to him and said, Master, which of these is the greatest commandments in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these commandments, these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, if you'll love God and if you'll love your neighbors yourself, the rest of them take care of themselves. How many of you believe that this morning? I do believe in being political. I mean, if God's people don't get in the political arena, then who's that going to leave to get in there? That's going to bother some of y'all. Well, I don't think Christians ought to be involved in politics, then the wicked's always going to rule. Amen. I mean, God's people's got to stand up, be accounted for. And I mean, we need Christian leaders today. I mean, we need to be accounted for. I mean, we need to stand up and say, hey, what's going on? We need to live righteous. Folk need to see it. I mean, as the church, we need to proclaim the gospel. We need to teach sound doctrine. And we need to try to help those that are in need. But we need to make our stand and take our stand and say, this is what the Bible says about that sin. This is what the Bible says about what you're doing. And that's why we're not going to do it. And that's why you shouldn't either. Amen. And people think that we're self-righteous. No, we're not self-righteous. We just believe the Bible and we want to follow God. You've been awful judgmental, preacher. No, the Bible is judgmental. And you need to get that through your head. If you're sitting here thinking that I'm judgmental this morning, you need to read your Bible. Amen. You know, as Baptists, we always get accused of being the denomination that just, it's not that you can, but that you just can't. What was the old saying used to be? You know, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't dance, can't have no fun. That's what they always said about Baptists. I'm not worried about those things. I have such a great time in the Lord. To know that He blessed me and keeps me, and to see what I can do for Him and what He does for me. Righteousness. You know, it just simply means to be right and to do right. Don't you want to be right? Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. That word reproach, number two, it means to charge with a fault or to upbraid. It means shame and infamy. It is a lack of righteousness and having plenty of sin. Now that's what reproach means. So he said, if sin is a reproach to any people, then it is a shame and an infamy to them. Something that will always be remembered and be reminded of in a bad way. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. God told him, if you'll do right, if you'll serve me, obey my word. Now, if you're going to have any righteousness, you've got to be saved, but then you've got to obey God's word. It took me a long time to grasp all that. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look in verse... let me read. Go back to verse 14. Well, we'll pick up in verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So he said, okay. He said, you're going to follow what I tell you to do, and don't leave my words, don't go to the right hand or to the left to follow other gods. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, and the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and of the fruit of the land of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Man, that's just a lot of cursing, ain't it? Amen. God said, no matter what you put your hand to, whether you're going in, coming out, raising, trying to raise cattle, that's the kind, whatever you're trying to do, going to be cursed. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unfor to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. That's kind of a scary verse, ain't it? God said, just go ahead. Go ahead and do what you want to do, but if you do, then I'm going to destroy you. He said it'll be a cursing, a vexation, and a rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, he said, until thou be destroyed. He said, everything you set out to do, it ain't going to accomplish anything. I'll curse it. And he said, and then there's going to come a time that I'm going to destroy you. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. That's sickness, ain't it? Until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. So God's not going to let it rain, and he's not going to let you grow anything. Take your Bible, flip over in the same chapter, and go to verse 43. We're not going to read all that, but go to verse 43. I mean, he just keeps telling them he's going to curse them. That's what he tells them through this whole thing. Because you didn't do right, I'm going to smite you. He even talks about smiting them in the knees and in the legs. And I mean, just tells them all kinds of stuff he's going to do to them. Look in verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Well, we've been talking about illegal aliens for a long time, haven't we? And thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Now here it is. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. God said, all right. God said, righteousness exalteth a nation. Folk that love me and do right according to my word, I will exalt them people and I'll exalt that nation. But when they sin, it's going to be a shame and a destruction to that nation. How did we get to the place that we're at today? Can I ask you this morning, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to, but if I said, do you think that we are a righteous nation, would you raise your hand? If I said that we are a sinful nation, would you raise your hand? Well, I'll just be honest with you. I'd raise my hand on the sinful nation. Because I know what we are. I know what our nation's doing. You can't promote sodomy, homosexuality. You can't promote abortion. You can't promote transgender. Listen, you cannot promote the downfall of marriage. The Bible said that marriage is honorable in all, and a bed undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers. God will judge. What do you think He's going to do to our nation, friend? Either you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. Either you think God's word is right or you don't think it's right. You say, why are you mad at me? I'm not mad at you, but I'm just trying to get you to see some things. Hey, we've been headed down the wrong path for decades. Just not years, decades. We've been headed down the wrong path. Men that have stood in my position have been afraid to preach. They've either been afraid of their position or of their check, or of people, or whatever the reason is. Man, it all hangs on leadership. Whether it starts in the home, in the church, or in the nation, it all hangs on leadership. So look in Romans chapter 1. I ask you the question, how did we get to where we're at now? I would have to dare say that we are a nation of sinners. I would have to dare say that we are a nation that people don't think about God nor love God. We're living in a little sheltered town in McMinn County, Tennessee, in Athens, Tennessee. And some people, I won't even say a lot of people, some people got up and went to church this morning. Hope they love God. Amen. Deuteronomy. Romans chapter 1. Look in verse 18. After he talks about being not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In verse 18, he says in verse 17, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We've been talking about righteousness, now we're talking about unrighteousness. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is the truth? God's word, is it not? Because that they, boy, I'll tell you what, we don't even know what the truth is today in our nation, do we? We know the word of God is true. But to be honest with you, we don't know how bad COVID is. We know it's bad. Miss Margie can attest. It's bad, ain't it, sis? Amen. We know that. We understand that. We know folk get sick from it. We know folk die from it. But then they politicize it. They muddy the water. And we don't even know what the numbers are or what the truth is, do we? One side uses it for an advantage and the other side uses it for an advantage. Hold the truth. In unrighteousness. They don't care about the truth. Whatever can be used to their advantage, that's what they're going to do. I just use COVID as an example. They've been doing that for years. Verse 19. So you've got a skewed view of our nation and of our world. No, I've got a true view of our nation this morning. They've been lying to us for years. If you don't believe that, there's really something wrong with you. Amen. Boy, it's exciting, ain't it? Because, look in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Is that not the argument that we have today? Well, let me read on. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What is the argument today? Was there a creator? How did all this get here? Did it just come out of nothing into something, and boom, there it was? What was it? Said that what? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clear. You cannot go outside and not see God. He's out there, friend. I mean, the Bible said that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork.
Go outside. We come in the other night. I believe it was Friday night. We'd been to wedding rehearsal. Come in. Man, it was clear as a bell. We got out of the car and I looked up to heaven. And man, you could see everything. All them stars of ours. This is clear as clear could be. And boy, what a monstrosity of a creation that we could see. And people just want to think this thing just happened. That's the argument. You know, we evolved. And we ain't evolving, we're devolving for sure. He said, being understood by the things that are made. You know, man can go out there and look and find God and understand some things. Even his eternal power in Godhead. So that they are without excuse. You can even see his power and his Godhead out there. You can see it. He is evident out there in his creation. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They took God out of his place and put man in God's place and brought God down to man's place. What are we doing today? Well, we've got humanism, do we not? You know, you can do good, and whatever makes you feel good, just do that too. It's kind of scary letting your children be taught that stuff in public school. You know what I read last night? I read an article that came out of Washington, D.C. for just the District of Columbia. They're trying to pass a law up there right now, and I'd say they'll get it done, that would allow your child that is 11 years old or older to take a vaccine without the parents knowing. You tell me that the humanistic world don't want to take away the rights of the parents. And then we think that there's no problem. Go read it for yourself, and I ain't making it up. Read it last night. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on that we don't know until we learn about it and it's done too late. Hey, can I park right here and say this just for a second? It is not the responsibility of the federal government, the state government, nor the local government to raise your children.
Amen.
It is your responsibility. Amen. You had them, they're your children, you raise them. Raise them according to that book right there. Verse 26, Romans 1. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Talking about homosexuality, talking about sodomy. You remember God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities thereabout in Genesis because of that sin. Abraham even bargained with God, and God bargained with Abraham, and he got all the way down. Abraham started at 50 and said, Lord, if you find 50, would you spare Sodom? He said, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if you find 45, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, I'll do it. He said, if you find 40, and then they worked themselves all the way down to 10. And Abraham says, God, if you find 10 down there, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And he said, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I find what? 10 righteous people. And you know what God ended up doing? He sent two angels down there, got Lot by the hand, and his two daughters and his wife, four. And brought them up out of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Four. Now he had sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he only got four out. His wife, himself, and two daughters. And that angel said, don't look back when you go out. Don't look back. Don't look back when we're destroying it. Don't look back. And what did Miss Lot do? She turned around and looked back, didn't she? She turned into a pillar of salt. You know why? Her life was down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. What she loved was in Sodom and Gomorrah. What she wanted was down there, and she turned around and looked back. Like some people look back. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9. So we find that God said, all right, they were unthankful. They quit serving me. They brought me down to the place of them. Brought themselves to the place of me. They served the creature more than the creator. And I love that verse, who is blessed forever. They went after strange flesh. They went away from the men went away. Actually, the Bible says that the women, if you look right here, the women did change the natural use into that which is against the nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. It is nature. It is natural for a boy to like a girl and a girl to like a boy. That's just natural. Anything outside of that is unnatural. And then you hear about them idiots on TV that's going to let their child decide what gender they're going to be. God made male and female. Made he them. Hope I'm doing all right. So God gave them their error, which was me. In other words, what was coming. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. You know, that word malignity is talking about just being, it's a stubbornness or an extreme enmity of being an enemy too. I mean, just stubborn and enemies. Backbiters, haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's where we're at as a nation. I believe you could take Romans 1. And even though it would apply to Israel in their day, it would apply to the Apostle Paul in his days of Rome, it will apply to our nation today. Folk have forgot God, they have forgot the truth of God's Word. They want to do their own thing and go their own way and magnify their own way and just hide God. Feel good about what you're doing, it's all right. That's a humanistic view. Whether it's adultery, fornication, drunkenness, sodomy, abortion, stealing, pride, whether it's any of them. You know, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All right, preacher, if God is really angry with our nation, then why ain't he done something? It's called mercy. And it's called repentance. Did he not send Jonah down there to stand out? He went a day's journey into Nineveh and cried out and said, yet in 40 days, God shall destroy Nineveh. And you know what they done? This gets looked over just a little bit. Well, they got right, preacher. Well, they did. They did get right. I won't argue that. I won't argue that at all. Somebody tore the book of Jonah out of my Bible. Don't you hate that when that happens? I'm like Brother Ted. Brother Ted used to say, I don't care if I got to go look. There it is. If I got to go look in the front of my Bible to find the page that it's on. Jonah chapter 3. Going to go to Nineveh chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. He come in and preached. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5 said, so the people of Nineveh believe God. People just don't believe God no more. They just don't believe God. And he proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And boy, they proclaimed it from the top to the bottom, even wouldn't let their cattle eat, wouldn't do nothing. And he said, just maybe God will see that we've repented and he won't destroy us. So number 3, what are we supposed to do as God's people? 1, I think we need to live righteous. I think you need to be like in the book of Haggai over there when they hadn't finished God's house and God kept telling them, consider your ways. You need to think about what you're doing, how you're living. You might want to consider how you're living. You say, well, we can't stay this. Hey, listen, Nineveh bought some time because they repented. Repentance is not going to start out in the world. Repentance is going to start in our heart. So I ain't got nothing to repent of you. If you're living for God, that's great. But if you ain't, you need to get some things straightened up with the Lord. If they sin in your life, you need to get some things straightened up with Him. You just need to repent, get right, and start doing right. Amen? I'm glad God lets you repent. We live righteous, we pray, repent. I mean, we live faithful, we serve God, we obey God instead of man. Then we begin to pray and intercede for our nation and pray that God will intervene. He said, redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to be out and about trying to get folks saved and get them on the lifeboat because we're running out of time. But the very last thing I want you to understand and realize this morning, you need to be looking for Jesus to come. Because I really believe we're finishing up the end. And He said when He comes, will He find faith? Is He going to find faith when He comes? Righteousness and reproach. That's the title of the message this morning. Righteousness and reproach. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach in any people. Let's bow our heads this morning.